Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Talked about a new subject of humility and submission. And we introduced a few things about how God wants us to be humble and submit to His plan, His will for our lives. Humility is a mystery sometimes, because people think humility is not having any say-so or any ability to resist the wrongs that are done against you. How many think humility is that, means that? How many, if raise your hand if you think humility is that, where you just kind of lay down and whatever people do to you, you just kind of take it. Well, that's not really what humility is. Humility is, like I've said in many, many cases, is the ability to recognize that you are not the source of your life. And so you acknowledge that God is the source of your life. He is the provider of your life. He takes care of you on a day-to-day basis. He leads you and He guides you. You are dependent upon God. That's what humility is all about. Dependence upon God. And not thinking that you, on your own, can make things work the way you want them to work. Amen? That's humility in a nutshell. But in that, sometimes that does mean you submit to things that you shouldn't normally, but God is the one that you are ultimately responsible to submit to. So we talked about a couple of instances, and we introduced Moses. Of course, everybody knows about Moses. So today, and I'm going to be short today because of the challenging situations in the bathroom. For those that came in late, the upstairs bathroom is available, but the door is not working. So you got to put something in front of the door, or the door will pop open. So we don't want any surprises. So keep the doors. You can put the little garbage in front of it if you have to use the bathroom. But like I said, hopefully next week that'll be all solved and we'll be back to normal schedule. We are expecting to be back to Wednesday schedule, Saturday night schedule, and Sunday morning schedule by the first week of February. All right? So we can get back to practicing and the Bible study and all that good stuff. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the story of Moses and his journey of humility and submission. So, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning as we open your word. We know that it's by your Spirit that we understand your word. So I pray for the Holy Spirit to teach us what he wants us to hear and what he wants me to say as I share the word this morning. In the name of Jesus, I pray, and we thank you for this time. And everyone said, amen. So let's go to Exodus chapter 4. And we talked about how Moses recognized that he had some kind of a call on his life. The book of Acts, and we went over it last week, that Moses believed that he was the deliverer of the children of Israel before God had called him to be. Amen? Everybody agree with that? Moses, that's why he came to the rescue of the Israelite that was being beaten by the Egyptian, because he was showing them that God had called him to rescue the children of Israel. But the problem with Moses is that he wanted to do it on his own terms and in his own way. And if you guys know anything about the history of the Egyptian Empire at that time, the Egyptian Empire was the most powerful nation on the face of the earth, right? They were the superpower. There were no other superpowers. The Egyptian Empire went for, I think, over 1,000 years, close to it. It had different variations, but it lasted for a long, long, long time. So there was no way Moses was going to gather up a whole bunch of shepherds who didn't have any weapons and then defeat the Egyptian army as he thought it should happen, right? It just wasn't going to happen. He could have had a draft, drafted all the 600,000 people. We know there was at least 600,000 soldiers by the census that he took later. He could have drafted all those soldiers, but we know when they got out in the wilderness, their biggest concern was not fighting Egypt, but what? Water and food. Where are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Why you bring us out here? So that group was not the warrior clan that they needed to be. So it was going to have to be done in a way that God set it up. Otherwise, it wasn't going to happen. But Moses had to learn that. He had to learn that it's not by might, he didn't have this scripture to refer to, nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord, that I'm going to bring the children of Israel out. So we see in chapter 4 that Moses is called by God. So we're going to go through chapter 4, verse 1. And then 10 through 13. So verse 1 says, and Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me. And this is after the call. So now Moses is going, or he's supposed to go, but he's not really ready to go. It's funny how Moses went from, I'm ready to do battle with the Egyptians, to don't send me to do battle with the Egyptians. It's amazing that 40 years I don't know if he was in the wilderness because he was actually living with Midian, his father-in-law and his wife, but he obviously had a different thought that God had forsaken him and left him and decided that some other way we're going to do this. So he's asking God, he says, Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me nor listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. So Moses is wondering about how people are going to think about him. And then in verse 10 through 13, we said Moses has more excuses. Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth, or who has makes the mute, the dumb, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you will say. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. So he said, Lord, please don't send me. Please don't send me. I don't want to go. How many, when we get saved, sometimes say that to God? Say, Lord, I'll be saved, but do I have to preach? Do I have to witness? Do I have to stand on the street corner and tell people about Jesus? Do I have to humiliate myself and tell my family how Jesus can change your life? Please, Lord, I want to be a Christian. I want to go to heaven, but please don't make me do those kinds of things. How many people said that? I know I said it. I was one of the reasons. Everybody, see, well, that was a funny thing. When I was, even before I became a Christian, my dad, my brother would make fun and say, you're going to be a priest. Well, you know what a priest is, right? I said, I don't want to be a priest because priests don't have children. I wanted to have some kids. So I knew I wasn't going to be a priest, but it was them. Obviously, they saw something in me before God had called me to do what I'm doing right now. But I said, no, Lord, I don't want that. I'm going to be a lawyer. I want to be a Christian, but I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to be anybody in the limelight. I just want to be a lawyer and do my lawyer stuff and live my lawyer life and go to a heaven after I'm died because I will be saved. So we see Moses, who was considered to be the greatest of all, one of the great prophets of the Old Testament, had the same problems that you and I have when God calls us to do things. You see that? It's not easy to recognize the call of God and to take it up, because you can never understand what is the fullness of what God is calling you to. And that scares us, because we don't know what's going to happen. You know, like when God called me to do this work here, I didn't know, Lord, what if nobody comes? And nobody did come for a long time. And he said, and he never answered me that. He said, you do what I called you to do, and I will make sure that the work that I call you to do will be established. Everybody say, the work God calls you to will be established. Even though it doesn't look like it's going to be. That's the challenge. Because a lot of times, especially, but see, that, and this is the thing, I didn't go back to the beginning of Moses, but God told Moses that he's going to send you to the children of Israel, you're going to bring them out, and you're going to worship me at this spot. So he told them what's going to happen, right? Didn't he? That was what he told Moses from the beginning. So he was telling them that you're going to be successful. But he did not tell them that it was not going to happen right away. Because let's go to chapter 5, verse 1, 2, 15, and 23. So Moses gives in. So this is the humbling part, the submission part. Moses said, okay, Lord, I don't want to go. I don't want to speak on your behalf. That's basically what he's saying. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey you. Okay? And you guarantee me a victory. That's what he's saying. I got the guarantee in my hand. I'm going to win this battle. Amen? But look what happens. The first day he gets there, he goes to Pharaoh. And he says, afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. So this is what God told him to say, and this is what Pharaoh's response was. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. So they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Then the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor. And Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor. So he says, no way are we letting them go. And I'm sure Moses is scratching his head at this time, because he said, wait a minute. He said, if I go down here and ask him nicely to let the people of Israel go, he's going to let them go. But this guy just said, I don't know your God, and I'm not going to do what your God says do. That's one thing. And then the next thing, let's go jump to verse, 23? Yeah, 15 through 23. So Moses says this to Pharaoh, and then he goes back to the children of Israel, and this is what they say. Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh, saying, why are you dealing with us thus with your servants? There is no straw given to your servants, and they say to us, this is they're talking to Pharaoh first, to make brick, and indeed your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people. But he said, you are idle, idle. Therefore you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Therefore, go now and work, for no straw shall be given to you, yet you shall deliver the quota of bricks. And the officer of the children of Israel saw that they were in trouble after it was said, you shall not reduce any bricks from your daily quota. Then as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron, who stood there to meet them. And they said to them, "Let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us." And so Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it that you have sent me?" Now, wait a minute. Didn't we just go over this? He told you why he sent you. He told you to come and get the children of Israel out. Tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And when you get them out, you come to this mountain and you will worship me at this mountain. But Moses is asking a question that God already answered. "Lord, why did you send me? You see all the trouble that has come on the people because I asked Pharaoh to let the people go." So this is what happens. When God tells you to do something, all of a sudden opposition arises.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
So this is what happens when God tells you to do something. All of a sudden, opposition arises. Is that right? Every time God tells you something, opposition arises. Why, everybody? Why does opposition arise? Say it louder. To keep you from doing what you know God told you to do. So the instruction to Moses was very clear. But all of a sudden, he can't remember why he's there. What happened? What happened was he's being tested. He's being tried. God is saying, "Are you going to obey me, submit to my will, or are you going to give in and give up?" That's the challenge of every believer. We are called to be lights in a dark land. Amen? No matter where we are, I don't care what country. I'm not talking about countries. I'm talking about darkness is not a country. It's a spiritual state. And so everywhere we go, we are light. And the Bible says, but people don't like light. You know how we wake up in the morning? I mean, just imagine if you woke up in the morning, you turn these spotlights on. I mean, it's like, turn them off. It's too bright. Right? How many have problems when you turn the light on? Your eyes really get, some people more sensitive than others, right? Me, if the lights are dark, if it's dark enough and I've been in the dark long enough, I don't turn the lights on. I just walk in the dark because your eyes have accustomed to the dark so you can see. But see, when you are the light and you turn the light on, people don't like light when they're in darkness. Are you with me here? So when God directs us to be and to do something, it is not going to be pleasant always, but you have to know that he's going to be with you and he's going to fulfill the promise that he gave you before he sent you into that place. He said to be fruitful and multiply, and it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. We all know that pregnancies are not easy, right? Well, some of us know by vicariously. You guys know what vicarious means? You didn't experience it, you just saw it. But the women know personally that have had children that it's not an easy thing. But it's a necessary thing if you want children. You know, we always talk of children in glowing terms. Oh, man, I want a son. I want a daughter. And the wives are cringing. It's like, okay, let's count how many we could really have because, you don't get carried away here. You know, I mean, now they got shows. I guess there's some show that some family has had 20 kids. Is that true? 18? 20? My dad, mom, my parents, my dad's parents had 11. Annis's mom had 9. My mom and dad had 5. Marquise is catching up now. They're having this, their 5th. And they finally had a boy. They're having a boy. So they're going to have 2 and 3, just like his dad's family. 2 boys and 3 girls. But it's not an easy road to multiply your family. Amen? It's not easy. Even when you conceive, there is no guarantee that the conception is going to go all the way through. That's the tragedy of a pregnancy. When you bear a child, you know you're pregnant, and then all of a sudden you lose the child. And that's, I know that's a hard analogy to look at in the spirit, but in the spirit, that's what the enemy tries to do. God has given you a seed to carry his word, his promise, and the spirit of the enemy comes to abort the seed. And he wants that seed not to be fruitful and not to multiply. So he sends opposition your way. And this is what happens with Moses. So Moses had to decide, are you going to do what God said, or are you going to do what your feelings are telling you? And unfortunately, most Christians, especially in the United States and in the Western world, prefer feelings over obedience. We would rather be popular than do what God says do. Now, don't get me wrong. Everybody wants to be liked, right? I mean, I'm not up here to make people hate me. That's not the purpose of preaching the gospel. But how many know they hated Jesus? And what did Jesus do? Well, he opened a few blind eyes, raised a few dead folk, healed the sick, cast out devils, preached the word. So why did they hate Jesus? I mean, ever asked yourself, why did they hate him so much? He was doing so much good. Well, they hated him because he was the light. And the scripture says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They didn't want him to tell them that they were not doing the right things. So when we share the gospel with people, they really, although they want to change, they really, there's something in them that does not want to change. And we were all there at one time, right? So we can understand. And that's the thing we have to always remember. We were like that before we accepted Christ. When people came up to me and talked to me about Jesus, I met a couple of girls that I knew that were Christians, and they would share the gospel with me. And I actually believed I was a Christian because I went to church for a number of years, and I wasn't going to church at that time. So I thought I knew Jesus. I thought I knew about the Bible. I could sing, you know, the old songs. But I didn't understand that you had to surrender your life to God in order to make a change in your life. I was not humble. I was self-reliant, self-dependent. Thought everything, if anything was going to happen, I had to make it happen. That was my mindset. And so it wasn't until I got accepted Christ that I understood that God is the one that opens doors and you just follow where he opens. Amen? That may mean that he may take you places that you may not want to go, but in the end, it'll all be what you want because you're saying, not my will, but your will be done. So we see Moses did not have immediate success. But because of that, God had to remind him again why he was there. And he says to Moses, now I'm going to show you how I'm going to do this thing. You go back to Pharaoh and I'm going to do these plagues. And one by one, I'm going to loose Pharaoh's grip on my people. Now, the funny thing, and think about it in these terms, we all have 10 fingers, right? And if you think about Pharaoh having a grip on the children of Israel, how many plagues did God send? Isn't that amazing? one for each finger, until he finally, what? Let go. Isn't that amazing? God broke the stronghold of Pharaoh by using plagues, 10 plagues, so that he could not hold them. Now, the funny thing about it is, before God released the children of Israel, he humbled Pharaoh. He humbled Pharaoh. Let's read in chapter 12, verse 31 and 32. And this is Pharaoh. Pharaoh was, I don't know, Pharaoh might have been schizophrenic. I don't know. I mean, the way he did things, he said, I'll let you go. No, I won't let you go. You guys can go. No, you can't go. How long are you going to go? Some of you can go, but not all you can go. No, you can't go. No, you show up one more time, I'm going to kill you. And then he comes back, and this is what he says after all that big, bad talk. Chapter 12, verse 31 and 32, Pharaoh says, and this is after the 10 plagues have been released on him, and the worst of all, he killed the firstborn. And then he called to Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as you have said. Also take all your flocks and your herds that you have said, and be gone. And listen to what he says at the end. What does that say? Read it out loud. And what? Are you kidding me? He's telling Moses to bless him? Why? Why is he doing this? Because he finally realizes he can't fight with God. When it's all said and done, he realizes that he lost the battle. And he says, would you please bless me too, Moses? Help us, help this people. And, you know, I don't know why Pharaoh didn't see it, because after every plague, he would ask Moses, send it away. And guess what? It would happen. It would go away. So he knew that God had the power to stop the plagues, but he never submitted to God until the end, until it got so bad that he had to lose his own firstborn son. But it didn't stop there. He turned around even after he said, Moses, bless me. He said, hey, wait a minute. We shouldn't have let him go. I'm going to go. Let's go get him. Let's go gather them up. They're stuck at the Red Sea. Let's go gather them up. Oh, they're dead now. We got them. We got them. We got them. And we know what happened. The Red Sea opened up. The children of Israel crossed, and they tried to chase them, and they couldn't make it. So he never submitted to the will of God and recognized the will of God as God's will. But Moses finally recognized that, yes, it may take steps, it may take time, I may have to go through some things, but ultimately I'm going to come out of this thing as a victor. Amen? And God is saying to us today, when he tells you, when he gives you instruction, when you're doing the will of God, when you're trying to live your life in the way that a Christian is supposed to live, yes, you may have opposition. People may not like you. It's a terrible thing that when you tell somebody that you're a believer and they say, I don't like those Christian people. Why? What miracle, what evil, you know, we can all ask, like the Bible says, like David, what evil have I done to make you not like me? But they have a misconception of what Jesus did. But really, no, they have a bad picture of what his believers have done. And so they don't see what Jesus did for them. Amen? But we have to stay the course no matter what we might have to suffer as a result of being on that course. It's not always an easy journey. You know, everybody, some people in the church sometimes say stuff like, well, if you hang in there, you know, God will, you know, you'll never have to go through things if you trust God. That is not true, and it's not ever going to be true. You're going to always go through something as a believer, because your nature and the nature of the world are not the same. Amen? your nature and the things. Just if you're trying to live a saved life, you can't even watch television like you used to. I mean, when I was a kid, I watched everything. I mean, from X-rated to whatever. But when I got saved, I recognized I can't be watching this stuff. What am I watching this for? And you see that you're in conflict with the world. What you want to do is in conflict with what the world wants. So by definition, you will always be going through trying to keep yourself separated from the things of the world. But you don't have to become alienated, meaning that you're so weird that people can't relate to you. But you're going to be separated. You're going to be different because you're on a different path. And we have to understand that that's the path that we walk. So by definition, we're going to go through things. But we have to know that God is going to bring us through if we put our trust in Him. If we hang in there long enough, we will get through the things that we go through. But we have to hang in there. Don't give up like Moses wanted to when he was called. Moses not only didn't want to start his call, he didn't want to even leave where he was. But when God calls you, it's a privilege. Recognize it as a privilege. If God were, I mean, think about the encounter that Moses had. He's talking to God face to face. The burning bush and all these great things, you know. So just remember that, just like Moses, we have to humble ourselves, submit to God's will, and know that He's going to bring us through no matter the obstacles that we're going to face. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. We're going to go home. I said I'm going to do it short because of all the inconveniences. I don't want to make you guys hold your water too long. Make it difficult. Anybody need prayer before we go? We don't want to leave without asking to pray for anybody. Anybody have a prayer request?
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.